This is Jim's Take. Welcome to Jim's Take, yet another podcast. We are on episode, 126. I can't believe I've done so many of these. Today we're talking insecurity. It's the biggest issue facing corporate workers today. And not just corporate workers, I guess everybody today. Anybody in the workplace. Insecurity, it exists everywhere. It drives a lot of the bad decisions we're making. You may see it or not see it in other people. I know you feel it. We all feel it. I got insecurity through the roof. So we're going to talk about it today. I want to talk a little bit about what's causing all of the insecurity, what drives it, how it manifests in different types of ways. We call it all these different things. We call it imposter syndrome. We call it this. We call it that. A lot of people are calling it introversion now by misinterpreting what being an introvert is. We're going to talk about how to recognize it in other people and how you can change your behavior based on this simple understanding. You know, when I think through all of the clients that I've worked with, so many of them, if not all of them, a lot of what they want to work on revolves around some form of insecurity. They don't want to admit it. They won't admit it. But things like, I want executive presence. Things like, I want to do really well here. I'm having management problems, leadership problems. I'm not getting the feedback I want. I need this. I need that. When I work with an individual in corporate, oftentimes, I wouldn't say this to them up front, although I'm saying it to everyone now, it's driven by a little bit of insecurity. There is a frustration there. They don't know what it is, and insecurity really has a major impact on it. So if we look at the challenges in general that most of us have, it's generally driven by our social interactions. Okay, you can almost take any type of thing. Any challenge we have is generally caused by other people. Actually, I shouldn't say that. Not caused by other people. It's by our interpretation of what other people are going to think. So when you think about anxiety, when you think about stress, when you think about all of these different types of things, a lot of times it's because, what are other people going to think, and how do I make the right decision? And now I have to do these types of things because this is what I'm supposed to do. And are they really going to see that I'm not the right person? I am the right person, whatever type of thing it is. But when we think about all these things that come up, oftentimes it's driven by other people because we have to interact with other people. I'm not telling you to stop interacting with other people. It's not going to be the solution. In fact, I would say interact more. But things like, you know, these little things we hear like, oh, people are afraid of failure. Well, they're not afraid of failure, right? If I build a model airplane in my basement and I screw it up and I throw it in the garbage, which has happened the two times I've ever tried it, I don't care. I failed at it, but I don't care, right? It doesn't matter. It doesn't impact anything. What we actually are afraid of, not necessarily failing, is what will people think when we fail? So there is this social challenge. It's an insecurity factor of, you know, you're not afraid of failure. You're afraid of what the feelings are going to be when other people see that you failed and what they're actually going to think about. We're not afraid of speaking in public, right? If I were to grab you and throw you up in front of 15 people to talk about the best way to knit something, because that's something you like, you'd have no problem doing that. You could talk about, oh, this is the best type of yarn to use, or whatever. I don't know the knitting stuff. But you're not afraid of speaking in public. What people are afraid of when they're speaking in public is, what will the audience think about me when I present on this topic that I'm going to present on? It's insecurity. And so there are a number of things, a lot of the challenges that we have, the anxiety we have, and this is driven by, I'm going to talk about what drives this, but it really comes down to insecurity. How are you comfortable with yourself? Are you comfortable with yourself? Are you owning yourself and the things that you like so that you are then able to interact with other people in a really meaningful way, right? When we think about the defensiveness we have, I have to defend this idea. I have to defend this project. I have to defend this whatever. It's all driven by insecurity and this lack of kind of, you know, being comfortable with ourselves. So what's driving insecurity? It comes in many different forms, and you've heard me talk on this podcast ad nauseum about, yes, things are changing faster than we can adapt. Massive levels of change. You've got AI, you've got all this different type of stuff. It's questioning our identity. And we're not afraid of the change. We're afraid of what this means to us in an identity perspective. Are we going to be able to keep up? Are we going to be included? Are we going to be, you know, left behind. There are all of these, this is insecurity. It's a security, psychological security challenge. And it doesn't just happen at work. We're not just talking about this in terms of the workplace and everything else. It happens at home. It happens in the community. It happens with the kids. When you think about raising your kids, what we really should be raising them to do is be comfortable with themselves so that they can shed some of these insecurity challenges. It's a massively jarring experience to go to a new school, to start a new project, to do something that's scary, to do all these things. You could do any of these things if you're comfortable with yourself. So that's one. Massive levels of change as we're doing it. How do you do that? But another challenge I think we have, another cause of this, I would call it societal. There's some societal challenges that are going on with the way that things are changing. I don't think many people have anchors anymore. We don't know what we believe. We don't have a belief system. We allow things to happen to us, and we feel like we've lost control, right? Everything is happening to us, and we can blame those things that are happening to us. But at the end of the day, in this kind of personal accountability component, there is an ownership aspect of us. We own us. We own our decisions. We do all these types of things. Another form of driving insecurity because we really have no control on what any of these things are that are happening to us. And then the third I would put is there is a complete lack of social interaction, right? We don't know how we're being perceived. We're living online. We're living behind a screen. We're not really interacting with other people in the way that we used to. And our social perception, the way people perceive us, the way we interact with people, and this is why at the top I said, don't stop interacting with people, interact more, is a meaningful bellwether for how we are comfortable with ourselves. When you put out comfort and confidence, you receive that back. When you put out insecurity, fear, shame, you get that back. People will respond in kind to what you're putting out in the world. And so from a social perspective, we're social people, front part of the brain, it's all social, yada, yada, neuroscience, this, that, and the other thing. We have to focus on ourselves to put our best foot out there, to put our best aspect out there in order to get that. And it manifests in different types of ways. The obvious thing, from a work perspective anyway, that everybody talks about is imposter syndrome, right? It's not new. It's been around. Everybody has an opinion on it. Could probably tell you how to fix it, right? And they're all lying. It has nothing to do with any of that. There is no set path to fixing imposter syndrome because everybody always has it. Right. And so focusing on imposter syndrome is a distraction. You have to focus on yourself, yada, 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 whatever. But when I was in Vegas, I was in Vegas last week, 2 weeks ago. I was speaking at an HR conference, Vegas of all places, human resources in Vegas. Okay. But that's another story. Not my favorite place in the world, but HR, the conference was very good. And it was all about how do you manage your people and how do you do that? And I was speaking on AI and how do you prepare for change when you don't know what change is coming, you know, my kind of shtick. And someone asked a really good question and says, you know, we're talking about work from home and how it's changing the work context and the work environment and everything else. Somebody said, do you see an increase in imposter syndrome with people who are working from home? And I said, no. And everyone was a little surprised. And I said, no, because imposter syndrome always exists and it always will exist, right? It's always, you're in a new situation, you're uncomfortable, you want to be accepted, we have to do all of these things. We don't have all the answers, nobody does, and we don't want everyone to know that we don't have all the answers, even though we know that nobody has all the answers. And it's this kind of like twisted up in this weird kind of way. I said, but what I am seeing, and this is how it manifests in different ways, I am seeing an increase in fantasized talent. And the reason we do that is because the reason we see this increase is we're not getting the feedback we need. When you are in person with somebody, you get every type of feedback imaginable just from a simple conversation, right? You get the eye look, you get the kind of the head nod, the look at, you know, this, the body language, you pick it all up. And all the things that are not said, we pick up. That's feedback that we get in terms of where we stand in the relationship to other people, where we stand in the context of a bigger picture, where we stand among everyone else. And so what I'm seeing now in talking to workplaces is there is this fantasized talent that people think I'm working hard, I'm doing all this work, it should be recognized, everything else. But at the end of the day, it's not meaningful in the context of a bigger picture. It's not meaningful in the context of work. And so you could be really good at digging a tunnel, but work is focused on building a bridge. And so you worked really hard, but you're irrelevant because you're not within the context of something bigger. And so we have to find out where we fit in the context of something bigger. And that's, you know, with less performance visibility, we have less comparisons. We're living in this kind of echo chamber of what we do. We're isolated from all of this feedback, working from home. There's less accountability. All of this kind of stuff weasels in. And it's a different type of insecurity that we have because we don't know where we fit. We don't know where we fit. And that is something I have struggled with for ages. I could look back on my life. And one time in my life, and I remember it, I was living in Jersey City. I was living on my own. I had this great apartment. It was on top of a beer garden. I had a view of the Statue of Liberty. I had great people my age living in the building. I had phenomenal friends. And it dawned on me one night as I was sitting outside. I said, this is the first time I actually feel like where I'm supposed to be. And when everything is changing around you so quickly, we don't know where we're supposed to be. And this is a struggle that I continue to struggle with. Like, am I? Where am I? Where am I supposed to be? What am I supposed to be doing? And where am I comfortable with myself? How do you bring out, you know, we live in these three kind of constructs, who you are, who you wish to be, and who you're supposed to be. And we go through these things, and when we're spending so much time in who we're supposed to be, insecurity will always loom there because that's not who you are. And this is hard work, and it's a lot of reflective work. And that's on the personal level, right? And that's the personal stuff that we have to do. But the other thing with insecurity that was eye-opening to me, this realization, was the behaviors of others that I can now recognize as insecurity. Right? There are different types. There are, you know, the standard types of person that you could see who are just naturally insecure. They constantly want validation. They avoid challenges. They have a fear of other people. They're overcompensating for whatever it is. They bought the Porsche and you're like, you don't really, okay, right? They've got the big truck with the big tires and all this other stuff. They're overcompensating for something. Dripping in insecurity, right? And that's, I look at it and you laugh and you're like, you're an insecure person. That's fine, right? You're fragile. You're afraid, even though you want to look macho or you want to look tough or you want to, whatever. Insecurity looms all over the place. But the other way, and this changed completely the way I interact with people so that my social interactions are much better. Other types of behavior are also insecurity. And we can't blame someone for doing this. This isn't about, oh, I'm better than you because you're insecure. It's recognizing that there is an insecurity there. And it changes the way I interact with this person so we can have a meaningful conversation. And we have a meaningful relationship. So there are plenty of others. There are, you know, you see someone who hates to accept compliments is a form of insecurity, which is big on me. I hate compliments, right? It's, you know, I want them. I love compliments, but I don't want them. I'm uncomfortable taking them. And this is why recognition is such a tricky game in the office. Some people want to be paraded across the stage. Other people are horrified and mortified by it because they've got this insecurity thing. They would appreciate just a quick little email saying, I saw this, I recognize this, I like it, okay? But otherwise, sometimes it could be torture. But there are other forms like isolation. We isolate ourselves. People-pleasing is another form of insecurity. Defensiveness, whenever you ask a question, is such a big form of insecurity. It's why so many discussions end in arguments because we're defending ideas and beliefs that aren't actually truths. And there are these forms of insecurity that you're not comfortable recognizing that somebody else could believe something different. And their identity, people's identity is tied up with the work that they're doing. And so that's another kind of umbrella of behavior that you see as, okay, well, it's insecurity. So if I know in my mind when I'm interacting with this person, it is, it changes the way that I interact with them, right? I don't blame them for the insecurity. Everybody has it. I have my own. You have your own. But you can recognize it as that. You don't call it out. And you're insecure. But you can ask questions and it gives you a little bit more patience of saying this person's dealing with some kind of internal churn that changes the way I communicate with them, changes the relationship and everything else. And how do you then become an ally to help them, whatever it is that they're struggling with? I don't care about their problems and their details, but you can ask questions in a different type of way rather than getting aggressive and confrontational and all of that. So internal churn is a tough part of this. Everybody has it. And We may not see it. And if you think about your personal situation, you feel it. You've got this internal churn all the time. I guarantee it. We always compare ourselves to other people, which is pointless. The standard, the self-doubt, we have all of this. This is a really cognitive aspect and an important part of being human, because when we get into ourselves and we have this internal debate, this internal conversation about why do I doubt myself? Why do I think about this? It's generally driven by other people, which is a form of insecurity. And so how do we respond, right? And we can respond to this in two different ways. One is, you know, we have this constant battle between our self-view and the world around us. And we're towing this line. We're on a razor-thin edge. Sometimes we're on it, sometimes we're off it. Sometimes it's a big jump one way or the other. It's more of a pendulum swing. But it changes the game when we recognize insecurity and call it out for what it is. And so two things. One is for you individually, dealing with your own insecurity. And then two is dealing with every single person around you that has insecurity and finding the patience to deal with them and recognize it for what it is. When you enter into any work event or meeting or thing where you're like, this person's coming in and I don't want to deal with them, recognizing that most of it's driven by insecurity changes the way you perceive the interaction from like a third part of you. It elevates you up. You take a look at it and say, these two people are fighting over something stupid. It's insecurity driving on both sides typically, and that's it. So when you choose your behaviors in interacting with them, one, your ideal situation in interacting with people is, how do I make the people around me more comfortable? Right? We have to get the best out of the people around us. It was in the book, started the book with it, the movie with Brendan Fraser, Alicia Silverstone. I don't remember what it was called. They live in a nuclear bunker. I love it. And I think I love it only because of this one line where he called her a lady. He was trapped from the 50s, came out in the 90s, and it was everything had changed, whatever. And he said, the definition of a lady is, the definition of a lady is a person who makes everyone around them comfortable. And it's the same with a gentleman. Definition of a gentleman or a lady is a person who makes everyone around them comfortable. And when you think about sitting in a meeting, how do you make the people around you comfortable? When you bring someone into your home, how do you make them comfortable? When you go to a networking event, everyone's got the angst and anxiety of a networking event. How do you make people comfortable? It's not about rattling off your 30-second elevator pitch. It's not about doing all these things and jamming things down your throat. And when you're able to do that, when you see these negative types of behavior, rather than get defensive, you get curious on how to get people to realize their particular situation, ask them questions. How do you create an environment where people can be themselves? All of a sudden, you have a friend for life because they can be comfortable around you with the person that they are. And so that's how we do that. We have to lose judgment. We operate all the time, and I'm guilty of this, even though I'm very quick to identify in other people. We lose judgment. It's one of the greatest compliments. I've gotten this from so many clients. I come here and there is no judgment, right? Because everybody makes decisions based on whatever it is their situation is, their background, their history, their experiences, their environment, their motivations, their values, everything else. And in the grand scheme of things, it really doesn't matter what decisions they make. But we judge those decisions, which drives more insecurity on the other end. And we make all of these assumptions on the way things should be, the way things are supposed to be, the way people are supposed to act. And we're actually manifesting insecurity in other people in this different type of way. And so how are you making people more comfortable around you? That's one. Two, how do you deal with it yourself? Because you've got insecurity. I've got insecurity. And again, this comes with everything. I have to do a networking event. I have to pitch a client. We think about these big things, but it's also, I have to go meet the neighbors. We're going out to dinner with some new people. I want to do a podcast. What will people think about it? I have to do these stupid social media videos, right? I mean, whatever it is that I have to do for the business, I have to do these types of things. There are insecurity aspects to what are people going to think. Rather than just saying, not what the algorithm's going to do, what would make this valuable for me? How is this kind of helping me in my particular way? How am I going to enjoy these 30 seconds, this 20 minutes, this hour and a half networking event, whatever it is? How am I going to enjoy this and make this fun for me? And when you're bringing out your best self, you naturally attract these other people who are attracted to that type of person. Right? And that's how we find it. We don't go searching for all these other types of people. We put out our best self and it becomes reflective back to us. One of my favorite stories I read was a woman, and it was on Reddit, and she was talking about how she lost a lot of weight. And I may have told the story on the podcast. Again, I tell it all the time because it's so good. She lost a lot of weight. She was insecure meeting people. She didn't like meeting people. She lost a lot of weight. All of a sudden, people started treating her nicely, started treating her better. She noticed it. She loved it. She was like, this is great. And then one day, she got very upset because they said she was thinking, everyone should have been treating me nicely the whole entire time. And then it dawned on her. They weren't treating her nicely because she lost weight. They were treating her nicely because she felt better about herself and she was putting a better self out in front of everybody else. And she was getting it back. And that's what we see overweight people who are having fun and love themselves and everything else. Not in this inauthentic way, but they're just happy with themselves. They draw people in, right? Because they love themselves. They embrace themselves. They are satisfied with themselves. They're not worried about what people are going to think. And this is true, not just about weight. It's true about everything else that we do. Right, and when we can enjoy ourselves, when we can have fun with ourselves, when we do the things that matter to us, we attract those other types of things, and insecurity melts away because we can be ourselves, and we can be comfortable with objective situations where we say, "Look, I'm going to do my best, and I can do this, and I'm going to present this, and I am proud of the work that I'm doing because I know that I did my best, and I did this and that and the other thing," and it changes completely the game with the way that you're interacting with other people. And so I went a little longer on this, but to recap, if you're still listening, 21 and a half minutes in, I think that's probably where we are, 22 minutes in, insecurity is everywhere. Everyone's dealing with it. And I know you're dealing with it. I know I'm dealing with it. And it's just time to embrace it and recognize it. That's one. Two, there are a lot of causes for it. It's not your fault. Everybody has it. Everything's changing. We're trying to find our place. Where do we fit? How do we adapt? How do we do these other types of things? How do we make sure that we are successful with our version of success? Three, recognizing it in other people will change the way you interact with other people. Okay, that's very important. Don't blame them for being defensive. Recognize that they have insecurity there and figure out the objective situation that's in there. When they are at their best and you are at your best, great things happen. And when you're dealing with it with yourself, a lot of self-reflection, what matters to you, what's your value, what's your motivation, do all of those types of things. It's an important type of work. It's going to take years of work, but it's an important one to start today, so that you can get the benefit of it as it evolves. When you get a healthy conversation in your head, you will evolve in a really meaningful and self-developmental way. So have a wonderful week. I hope this was helpful. I love working with people on their insecurities, right? Bring me into your office. I'll do an amazing presentation. Have a wonderful week. Reach out. I'd love to talk to you. Say hello. Have a wonderful week. Be great. Be brilliant. I'll talk to everybody soon. Thanks.